grace and peace to the household of faith today, and we certainly praise God for those that are here. And we thank God for his goodness. So we're going to pray that the Lord's will be done in this message today. So let us pray to that end. Now, righteous Lord, our God and our Father, Lord, we just thank you and bless you and praise you, God, for thy great goodness, your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that you've left your word on record of those acts that thou hast performed on our behalf of the elect of God, the beloved of God, in eternity. And Lord, you left it on record for us to be apprised of it in time. And we pray, Lord, that you would have your way by your blessed Holy Spirit in the mind, heart, and spirit of each one of these hearers, and for those abroad, Lord, as it go up the message on the internet throughout and wheresoever, O God, you has ordained it. We pray, Lord, that your word, the mouth of this thy servant, cause that your will be wrought in it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Won't you turn with me to the book of Titus, Chapter 3. We're going to ask Elder Liverman to be our designated reader today. He's back just in time. It's so decreed by God. I thought he'd be away, but he's here. And I guess by the decree of God, Pastor will take a rest. And to that we say amen as well. The scriptures we'll be dealing with from the book of Titus, the third chapter. We're going to read verses, going to have Elder read verses 1 through 7 for a context. And this is primarily dealing with the subject of regeneration. Regeneration. Amen. There's one thing that God's people need, and that's educating in the workings of God. Not tradition, not denominational dogmas, not denominational creeds, but we need education, scriptural education, in the workings of God on our behalf. So, what better place to get it than from our gospel? I know many disagree with that this is our gospel, but we're going to read the Word of God from the gospel of grace, the mystery, as was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and we shall let the Word of God speak. If everyone have Titus chapter 3, the first verse, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
All right, Elder. Why don't you begin reading at verse 1, and we'll see what thus saith God's word.
Titus chapter 3, beginning with the first verse.
All right. Ella, read from the interlineal Greek.
Amen.
I'm sorry about that.
Titus chapter 3. Begin with the first verse.
First verse, Greek interlineal text.
From the Greek text. Remind thou them to rulers and authorities.
Authorities.
To be subject.
To be subject.
To be obedient.
To be obedient. Now this is Paul's instruction to Titus regarding the people of God under whom he was teaching. All right.
To every work good.
To every work good.
Ready to be.
Be ready to every good work. All right.
No one to rail at.
No one to rail at or speak evil of. Don't speak evil of no one.
Unconscious to be.
Mm-hmm.
Forbearing all.
Yes.
Showing forth meekness to all.
Showing forth meekness unto all. Be mild in your dealings, in your associations with others, to all, not just the saints of God or those brethren and sisters, but to all men, be meek. All right. Read on, Ella.
For were then also we senseless,
uh-huh,
disobedient.
All right. That's equivalent to we were then senseless and disobedient in the past.
Amen.
We were.
Yes.
All right, Ella.
Being deceived.
We were deceived.
Serving as slaves, lusts and pleasures.
We were serving divers lusts and pleasures, or various lusts, individual desires, and sensual delights and desires. We served those things. Uh-huh.
Various and evil and envy living.
All right.
Hateful, yeah. Hating one another.
We were hateful and we were envious. We were jealous and spiteful. We had ill will. We were odious.
Yes.
And we were hateful or persecuting one another. Mm-hmm. Verse 4. But something happened. Something happened.
Amen.
Yes.
But when the kindness and the love to man appeared of the Savior of us.
But when the kindness and the love to man appeared of the Savior of us.
Now, God.
That's a profound statement there, the Savior of us. Sometimes we think, many in Christendom think, that we got ourselves saved. But the Bible documents that Christ or God was the Savior of us. He saved us. And he didn't do it in time, but he did it in the annals of eternity.
Yes.
All right. Read, Ella. Begin that fourth verse again.
But when the kindness, mm-hmm,
and the love
to man appeared, of the Savior of us, God.
Savior of us, God.
Not by works in righteousness.
Hold it right there, Ella. I wonder what is it that we, saints, God's people, men, women, boys, and girls don't understand about the word not. Maybe we're going to have to go to other lands and other shores and introduce this word not, and maybe they'll understand. We seem to not understand what the word not means. Not. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work like that. Not by works, not by baptism, not by sinner's prayer, not by our faith. If you introduce it, it is a work. And then it wouldn't be totally of grace. For by grace are we saved, not of works. Amen. Of any kind. If it come out of us, then it is not grace. It's a work. Grace is undeserved kindness.
Amen.
And unmerited or unearned favor. If you introduce your part in it, it could not be undeserved at all. You introduce something. So you would have to get some of the glory from it. Mm-hmm. It would be a work.
Amen.
All right. Not by works in righteousness, what?
Which did we. But according to the of him mercy.
But this is how our salvation was given and granted. But according to the of him mercy.
He saved us.
He... Singular, he saved us. Not all of us say help save ourselves. He, singular, saved us.
Yes.
Simple as that. Not by works of righteousness which we did or do, but he saved us.
Yes.
Period. All right. Go on, Ella. And how's this done?
Through the washing of regeneration.
All right. Now,
and renewal spirit. And renewal Holy Spirit.
Let me say something right here. Saved is in what we call the aorist tense. I'm sorry, but the Bible was not written in English. It was written in the Greek language.
Amen.
And the aorist tense as we've heard time and again, means a past completed act. Mm-hmm. Past completed. Not past started. Not past ongoing. But past completed act. God saved us, period. End of story.
Yes.
He saved us. All right, now read on from there, Elder. By what?
By washing of regeneration.
By washing regeneration.
And renewal Holy Spirit.
And renewal Holy Spirit. Now, this word regeneration. Re means again.
Yes.
Not new birth, but again birth. Rewind. Wind it back where it was.
Glory.
Return. Go back where you started from. Re. Again. Not new. Praise God.
Thank you.
Again birth.
Yes.
And renewal of Spirit Holy. Now, he saved us by washing regeneration and renewal Holy Spirit. All this was a past completed action done by God before we ever were brought on the scene. Mm-hmm. All of it.
Glory to God.
Finished by God.
Thank you.
All right, come on with verse 6, Ella.
Verse 6.
Let's get another confirmation.
Which he shed on us.
Which who?
Which he shed on us.
He shed on us, or as pastors oftentimes say, Ezekiel, and that's what it is. And it does mean poured out. He didn't just sprinkle. He didn't just give a dribbling or two. But he poured out, gushed out, bestowed on us. He saved us abundantly. He saved us completely.
Amen.
All right. Which he poured on us.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And let me say about us.
Amen.
It was all of us that members of the body of Christ,
yes,
which is speaking of particularly here, is all of us. Those that were born before us, sitting here right now,
yes,
those that will come after us. This work was done in eternity, and it covered all of us.
Yes,
it's not an end time sequential working. It was done, provided, finished.
Thank you.
In the annals of eternity.
Oh, my Lord.
And it covered all of us, the elect of God, members of the body of Christ.
Glory,
covered
God.
All of us.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it was done in eternity.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
Covered us all. Finish it, Ella.
Verse 6.
Uh-huh.
Which he shed on us richly.
Yeah, richly.
Through Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
The Savior of us.
It is again another confirmation. Jesus Christ, the Savior of us. We are nowhere in the formula. Nowhere. Sinner's prayer, baptism, none of that is in the formula. It would put us in cooperation with God. But this thing was done at a time in the realm of eternity, before we were ever brought on the scene of life and creation. It was done, completed, and finished.
Hallelujah.
Come on, Ella. Where are we at? Verse 7? Mm-hmm.
In order that.
Uh-huh.
Having been justified.
There you go. Having been justified. Not being. It's already done.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord saved us in eternity, we were justified. We were sanctified. Hallelujah. Having been just aorist tense.
Glory to God.
Aorist tense.
That's right.
All right. Having been justified, huh?
By the of that one grace.
By the of that one grace. Mm-hmm.
Heirs.
Heirs.
We might become.
We might be having become. Aorist subjunctive. All right.
According to a hope of life eternal.
According to a hope of life eternal. Or that word, hope, expectation of life eternal. Now, do everyone have the doctrine, the scriptural application of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, and imploration? If you have it, please pull it out now. Many of God's people, I'm going to repeat that, Many of God's people think, assume that they have an input in their salvation and in their dedication unto God. I tell you, saints, we do not. We have just shown scripturally that God saved us before he ever made us or brought us on the scene of life and time. He had already saved us, amen, and given us everything, a complete salvation. But many of God's people, y'all tell them what I said now. We don't want folk to think that just because we are exegeting the scriptures that we think that we're the only ones saved or the only one that got something right. But many of God's people in the Detroit area, in the Michigan area, in the United States, and even abroad think that they must have some input on their dedication and their salvation to God, or at least think that they must put forth dedication or dedicated service in order to have acceptance or finish off or secure their salvation. I tell you, no. Y'all have the document, say amen. If anyone does not, please raise your hand, and I believe that the ushers can give you pass the document out. Praise God. All right, we have some in the back, I do believe, as Pastor is indicating. The scriptural application of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, and imploration. Yes, Elder Liverman spoke and preached from this document last Sunday. Our pastor has been speaking from it, and here I go. Amen. Somebody said that learning is 90% repetition. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, we trusting, will give something a little different, not different as kind, but a different aspect to your understanding from this speaker today. Amen. But one voice. One voice.
Amen.
Now, the second word at the title is scriptural. The scriptural application. There are a lot of things going down in Christendom, but I'm sorry to say a whole lot of it is not scriptural. It's traditional, it's denominational, but most of it is not scriptural. The scriptural application. Oh, I'm going to comb through this. So just sit, relax, and go along with me. I don't know how far I'm going to get. That's God's business. But I'm going to comb through this. The scriptural application. Now, when you say application, it is the act of putting to use. It is use, and it is as a noun, it's a noun, and it is the way of using. So, this what we are going to survey today is the scriptural way of using, or the scriptural use, not the denominational, not the traditional, but the scriptural use of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, and imploration. Next word we have, it would be the scriptural use of belief.
Uh-huh.
Belief is what is held to as true or real. It is the thing believed, or it is one's opinion.
Yeah.
Your opinion is what you believe. Else you wouldn't have or hold that opinion. All right. Next is surrender. If we surrender to the Lord, we might say, Lord, yes, I'm yours. I can't go no further. Take me. Take control. But another one that's quite misunderstood in Christendom is confession. The act of confessing or owning up. As a child might come to a parent when they did something wrong or messed up something in the house, they come and fess up, as we would say. The act of confessing or telling your mistakes or sins. saints of God, this has no part in our salvation. Confession. It might be in it, but it does not secure our salvation.
Amen.
All right, next we have restitution. Now, this is, sure enough, law, straight up. Restitution is the act of making good any loss or damage. It is injury one has caused or done. Now, they did that in the Old Testament. They had to bring rams, lambs, she-goats, and the like for their sin to make restitution for their sins. Okay. And finally, we have the scriptural use or way of using or putting to use imploration. Imploration is begging someone to do something, or it is the act of begging earnestly for or for something. It's as though I would walk up and give one of you $5 out of, I'll say, the kindness of my heart. And then you start telling me, please, 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 please give me $5. Please, I mean the original five. Please give me five. You got it. You already have it.
Amen.
So imploration. Saints of God begging the Lord to do this. And mainly, oftentimes we beg him for salvation and the like. Everything we need according to life and godliness, amen, has already been decreed and determined. Our salvation has been decreed. Now, the first head we have from the document, believe and surrender to God. Believe and surrender to God. As though this is something we can do in and of ourselves. I tell you, no. It is of the It is of the utmost importance to scripturally,
yes,
that is the key, according to scripture, properly exegeted and rightly divided. And it ought and must be by dispensation and covenant arrangements.
Uh-huh.
Here we have a prefix again. Ex. In the Greek is ek. It means out. In the English is ex. It means out again. Ex it means go out. Exhume means dig up. Exhale, blow out. All right. So we have to exegete properly the scriptures to find out the intended conveyance or thought conveyance that God has intended. All right. It is of the utmost importance to scripturally examine and assess the unscriptural and incorrect applications of certain ritualistic practices that have been orthodoxly or by the majority. Orthodoxy or orthodox is not some sacred term. It simply means the majority opinion. So when you hear it from now on, you won't look at it as, ooh, mysticism. It is the majority opinion. That's ritualistic practice that have been orthodoxly or by the majority adopted in the misconceived regenerating process of conferring salvation. The regenerating process of conferring salvation. The subtle piousness and or prideful arrogance of diversified of various and different sectors of Christendom have established a confusing intrusion into, get this, the eternal doctrine of regeneration. And we had it from Titus chapter 3, verse 5, that regeneration is not something you get to in time. It was initiated by God in eternity. Regeneration. Going back to that which already was. It may be new to you because it was just manifested in time. but it is an eternal act completed by God on the behalf of all of his elect.
Yes.
Diversified, the eternal doctrine of regeneration by asserting that salvation is conditioned upon one's self-initiated belief in Christ. That is the key there. Some and many believe that it's their self-initiated belief in Christ that get them into God's grace or earn them salvation. With the added demand, as if that wasn't enough, adding insult to injury, with the added demand that such ones must dedicate themselves to do God's will in their daily lives in order to be saved. Dedication to God is wonderful, is noble. It's a thing to be desired. But we cannot do it, and it's certainly not a requisite for our salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The desirability of the salvation recipient's dedication to God is obviously stressed in the scriptures. We have referenced 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, and we're going to ask Elder to go there, and let's read that. That is 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, Elder. You can go with the King James, Elder. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. The desirability of the salvation recipient's dedication to God is obviously stressed in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, Elder, read it when you have it.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, begin with the second verse.
I'll tell you what, begin at verse 1, Elder.
Begin with the first verse.
All right.
Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Let a man so account of us,
writes Paul,
as of the ministers of Christ,
or servants of Christ,
and stewards of the mysteries of God.
And stewards, or one that manages a household or over a house, or an administrator, stewards of the mysteries of God. Uh-huh, verse 2.
Moreover,
all right,
it is required in stewards.
It is required in stewards
that a man
that a
be
man
found faithful.
Be found faithful, and this found faithful is not a thing out of us. It's in the aorist tense, subjunctive, and it's in the passive voice. The passive voice always let you know that it didn't initiate out of us. Passive voice. We were passive. It was done to us. And we didn't initiate it out of us.
Amen.
Paul was caused to be faithful. He was caused to be a faithful steward,
yes,
over the things of God. Before he was ever brought on the scene, the Galatians record states that he was chosen to be an apostle and a propagator of the gospel of the grace of God. All right. Reading on, middle of the paragraph, first paragraph. But because many are inattentive to the doctrines of grace, pay them no mind, they are easily led to suppose that their self-imposed, that is works, self-imposed dedication is imperative to their positional status in Christ. Not so. Self-imposed dedication is being imperative to our positional status in Christ? No way. We were saved, we were placed by one Spirit, were we all baptized into the one body of Christ. Not are, presently, were from eternity. Rather than that which is concomitantly or goes along with and annexed to maturity in the growth and development aspect of the child of God's manifested earthly walk. Amen. God gives us maturity in our earthly walk, and all of us do not attain to the same status or standard of maturity.
Yes.
Some are going to go on out of this world still babes in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But God's ministry is designated to build us up in the things of God.
Amen.
All right. This erroneous thing is herein considered in three aspects. Number one, the incapacity of human depravity. We do not have the ability to dedicate ourselves unto God for whatever reason, and certainly not for our salvation. We don't have the ability. What is involved in it? And the ministry's role in conveying scriptural doctrine. There's that term again, scriptural doctrine. We have denominational doctrine, we have traditional doctrine, but all of that pales in light of scriptural doctrine. We have to see what the scriptures say about it. What does God's word say about it? The incapacity of human depravity. Mm-hmm. Now, folks sure don't like being called depraved.
Have mercy.
Oh, no. My flesh flared up silently, subtly, when it was first told me that I was depraved. But depraved we are. Depravity is from the root word depraved. It means to make bad, corrupt, perverted, and is from the Latin word prevos, which means crooked and wrong. And before we finish with the next paragraph, we're going to prove scripturally that we are all depraved.
Yes.
Amen. The synergist role. Stop again to explain. Break that down. Synergist is from synergism. Synergist is the person themselves. It means one that believes that they must cooperate with God in some way to effectuate or bring about their salvation. Whether it's through restitution, imploration, confession, or their belief or their faith. You've heard it much. Exercising your faith.
Yes.
Amen. Sinner's prayer, whatever, baptism, you name it. Them that believe that they must do something to help God or co-work with God to effectuate, that is, bring about their salvation. The synergist notion is that the reception of so-called common grace qualifies everyone, as competent to accept Christ as Savior, if such one freely wills. Now you get in that free will. If such a one freely wills to do so, they believe that everyone possesses this so-called common grace and can accept Christ as Savior if they will to. The perception of this idea further avers, or according to that idea, they claim and declare or assert it, that mankind is inherently prophet. In other words, they suppose they have this grace in them. They are inherently prophet with this common grace, which capacitates, and this is what this notion does, it capacitates all to dedicate their lives to God. Now, this is what the synergists believe. But contrarywise, there is much written in the scriptures regarding the overwhelming testimony of the utter inability and spiritual death of depraved mankind. And we're going to give testimony of that right now. We are incapable and unable to render anything worthy of salvation or worthy of us commending ourselves to God.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Elder and church, won't you turn with me? Last week, Elder read from Romans 7, 12 through 25. I'm going to corroborate it again. From Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Ella, won't you turn with me there? Romans chapter 3, 9 through 12. And we're going to see what man has in him that is noteworthy to offer unto God. Romans 3, beginning at verse 9, when you have it. Church, you have it, say amen. Those that have it. All right. Elder, you have it, go ahead and read it.
Romans chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
beginning with the 9th verse.
Yes.
What then?
Uh-huh.
Are we better than they?
Yes.
No. In no wise.
That meaning, primarily, predominantly Gentile, Paul is saying, are we better than the Jews and how their behavior was to God? Uh-huh.
For we have before proved,
yes,
both Jews and Gentiles,
Jews and Gentiles,
that they are all under sin.
We all have a sin nature. Uh-huh.
As it is written.
Is written.
There is none righteous.
There is none righteous. Now, this is written, Paul is corroborating from the Old Testament scripture in Psalms. There is none righteous.
Right.
How many? No.
Not one.
Not one. Uh-huh. What about understanding?
There is none that understandeth.
Oh, my God.
There is none that seeketh after God.
There is none that initiate out of themselves to seek God. No. Verse 12, Elder.
They are all gone out of the way.
All, everyone is gone out of the way.
They are together become unprofitable.
Uh-huh.
There is none that doeth good.
Uh-huh.
No.
No.
Not one.
Not one. Now, many get to the 12th verse and say, no, that's them. That's them. But Paul started in the 9th verse and said, what are we better than they? In no wise. For we have both proved, both Jews and all Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Let's put on Romans 7, Ella. Go to Romans 7, and we're going to read through that with little comment. Little comment. Romans 7, 12 through 25.
Amen.
Romans chapter 7,
mm-hmm.
beginning with the 12th verse.
All right.
Wherefore the law is holy.
Law is holy.
And the commandment holy.
Yes.
And just.
Just.
And good.
And good.
Was then that which is good made death unto me?
Uh-huh.
God forbid.
God forbid.
But sin. That it might appear sin.
Yes.
Working death in me.
Working death in me.
By that which is good.
By that which is good.
That sin by the commandment.
That sin by the commandment.
Might become exceedingly sinful.
Appear what it really is. Dastardly sin. All right, 14.
For we know that the law is spiritual.
Uh-huh.
But I am carnal.
Paul said, I am carnal. For those who like to say that this was Paul when he was Saul, this is in the present tense. He said, I am. Matter of fact, it's a present indicative, meaning it's a fact. I am what, Elder?
Sold under sin.
Carnal, sold under sin. Sold out to sin. Paul said, I am. The apostle to whom the revelation of the mystery was revealed said, I am carnal, sold under sin. All right?
For that which I do, I allow not.
For that which I do,
but what I
allow
would,
not. Now you're getting a glimpse of the old and the new man. For that which I do, I allow not.
For what I would, that do I not.
For what I would, that do I not.
But what I hate,
but
that I, do I.
The new man hate, the old man does. In the flesh. All right, 16.
If then I do that which I would not,
mm-hmm.
I consent unto the law that it is good.
Yes, sir.
Now then it is no more I that do it.
Yep.
But sin that dwelleth in me.
Yes, sir.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh,
uh-huh.
dwelleth no good thing.
Now, saints, how you think we fare? Paul said, I know that in me or in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. All right?
For to will is present with me.
For the will to do better is present with me.
But how to perform that which is good, I find
but
not.
But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Uh-huh.
For the good that I would,
uh-huh.
I do not.
All right. But what?
But the evil which I would not, that I do.
That's all of us. It just varies individual to individual.
Yes, Lord.
The no good that one does, the other may not, but he does another no good.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. So we can't compare ourselves among ourselves. Bless Jesus. Verse 20, Elder.
Now, if I do that, I would not.
Uh-huh.
It is no more I that do it.
Uh-huh.
But sin that dwelleth in me.
Sin nature is in all of our members, in all of our flesh. 21.
I find then a law that when I would do good,
evil
is present with me.
I wonder if anybody ever found that principle. When I would do good, evil is present with me, either in thoughts or actions. When I go to do good, evil is right there. Sometimes the Lord allows it to overrule, and many times, amen, he overrules the evil. Praise Jesus. All right, 22.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
New man, yes.
For I see another law in my members.
Yes.
Warring against the law of my mind.
Uh-huh.
And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members.
All this present tense, not when he was Saul. All right.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
Oh, wretched man that the apostle of the Gentiles said that I am. Oh, wretched man that to whom the revelation of the mystery was exclusively revealed, said that I am. Oh, wretched man, I not was, am. Uh-huh.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Yes.
I thank God through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God.
Yes.
But with the flesh, the law of sin.
All right, back to our document. Hence, both the New Testament covenant agreement, all the same thing, the New Testament and grace covenant as well, all mean the same, declare the exclusive message that Christ is Savior, but also that no one can accept him aside from being illuminated to that end by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got to corroborate this by the scripture that's given here, 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. We think throughout Christendom, Elder, turn there with me, please. 1 Corinthians and church, turn there, 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. We think in Christendom that we can initiate something out of ourselves in accepting Christ or in a dedicated walk unto him. We cannot. Ella, we're going to begin at the 14th verse of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. No one can accept Christ aside from being illuminated to that end by the Holy Spirit. Read it when you get it, Ella.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with the 14th verse.
Yes, sir.
But the natural man
receiveth not
the things of the Spirit of God.
The things of the Spirit of God.
For they are foolishness unto him.
They are foolishness to the natural man.
Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned
or scrutinized and searched out. Now, don't think that you can do it spiritually. This is a present indicative, but it's in the passive voice. It has to be given unto us, revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit of God. We are God's doings. We are his workings, A to Z, start to finish. It's all God. If we have knowledge, it's God.
Yes.
If we are saved, it's God. If we are walking in a dedicated manner, it's God. It's not us. It's not because you didn't do some of the things that your brother or your sister did. It's God. That would foster pride if we were in the formula. We are saved by grace, unmerited favor. Amen. Undeserved kindness. Finish that, Ella.
Verse 15.
But he that is spiritual
judgeth all things.
Yes.
Yet he himself,
yes,
is judge of no man.
Of no man. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Saving faith. Back to our document. Last paragraph, middle of it. Saving faith, as viewed by the majority, is not imparted specifically because someone believes, but of the results of that recipients of God's choice in election to salvation were foreordained to positions of sonship before the creation of the world. Amen. We are not saved, or saving faith, amen, is not out of us, but it's given in us. Amen. We were chosen to that end before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And we're going to go to Ephesians, if time allow, before it's over. We have reference here, Ephesians 1, 4, and 2, and 8. It follows that the misperceived dispositional requisite or requirement of surrendering one's life to God as an enacting condition of salvation, one believed that they got to surrender their life to God as an enacting condition of salvation is unscriptural. It is both unscriptural and it's practically unreasonable. God's manifested call to his elect is never in the form of an appeal to their capacitated unction to yield unto the lordship of Christ.
Yes.
God never, amen, his salvation to us is never in the form of an appeal to our capacitated, though we have the capacity and unction to yield to the lordship of Christ. God doesn't depend on anything from us, young people, saints. In stark contrast, saving grace engendered, that is, produced the cause, the reception of God's divine, saving grace caused this, the reception of God's divine nature through the eternal regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. There it is again birth, going back to that which previously was, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, in which designated ones, not all men, not all mankind,
amen,
but designated ones' understanding and capacity to respond to the authority of Christ,
yes,
were decreed in eternity and manifested in time.
Right.
Amen. I think it's Ephesians 1 and 10 said, we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So when you do good, the Lord is truly enabling you to do good. When you do ill, the Lord has chosen not to overrule the depravity of your flesh. So we have nothing to boast about. It's all God. Amen. Those attending upon such issues as humanly determinate ways, they believe it's out of them, must comprehend that all concepts of mankind's self-dedication overwhelms all limits of mankind's ability. Even for the most devout respondent, we are not able, amen, to manifest a dedicated walk to the Lord in and out of ourselves. We don't have the ability, praise God, to do it. That's what it means when it said, those attending upon such concepts, upon such issues as humanly determinate ways, must understand that all concepts of mankind's our self-dedication overwhelms all limits of our ability. We are depraved. We just can't produce godliness unto God except he enable us and calls us, even the most, if it were, a devout respondent. The error of imposing one's comprehension and adherence to Christ's lordship upon the depraved is disastrous. For no one is able, upon being called upon, to dedicate one's life, in that none has the inherent ability to produce such if it was demanded of you. We don't have the ability to, amen, for a dedicated life and service to God out of ourselves. As unintentional as it may be, this type doctrinal dogma, or you might say denominational or traditional dogma, is very destructive in that this blasting error by God's people, let me interject that here again, by many of God's people, this blasting error, praise God, altogether omits the idea of the eternal workings of Christ in behalf of salvation and promotes exclusively obligation of one's self-initiated surrender to God. In other words, if I don't surrender to God myself, I won't get the favor of God. This then cascades into the proffering of natural incentives. If you think that of yourself and I of myself, amen, can out of ourselves initiate surrender to God, this then cascades into the proffering of natural incentives. Because we think it's out of us. We think that we can do it. As an allurement to incite dedication from God's people. Honey child, let me tell you. If the Lord God does not genuinely do it according to the gospel which was designed and purposed to build up the household of faith, it will not be done in honor and glory to God. It will be self-aggrandizing at best. We'd be proud, haughty, built up. If we stoop, if we bend to natural incentives. King and queen. Church member of the month. I'm going to stop there. In this sense, carnal substitutes, such as consecration, in lieu of eternal election. Humanly motivated participation, oh, let me get in there. They'll notice. In lieu of faithful motivation of Christ.
Yes.
And the accomplishments and or failures of daily living in lieu of the determinants and essence of eternal life are the prioritized focus. This gospel of grace,
hallelujah.
This gospel of grace,
yes,
was exclusively and specifically designed, and it was vouchsafed, left on record for us to inform us of the things that God has wrought for us in the eternal realm. We are glorified. God put us here in these bodies. Amen. But the greater picture is we are glorified. He gave us a sin nature in this realm while we are here.
Mm-hmm.
But we are already saved. We are already glorified. And nowhere else in Scripture is this brought out of all that the Lord have wrought for us, but in the exclusive record of revelation that the Lord gave exclusively, not Peter and the rest of them, but exclusively to Apostle Paul, for primarily, not only, but primarily and predominantly Gentiles, whom we thought we were left out and were manifestation-wise of the Commonwealth of Israel and the blessing that they had. And we thought we were an afterthought. This gospel is the only record that lets us know that we were a forethought with God.
from eternity, he had it all worked out, all planned, all finished, all completed for our glory.
Glory to God.
Our
yes,
good,
Amen.
Which is attached to his precious
yes.
and wonderful glory. Last paragraph. Unfortunately, this type of thinking,
mm-hmm.
either consciously or unconsciously, that thinking other than God have eternally wrought good works in us and dedication to him in us. Sometimes God's overruled depravity in us. Sometimes he does not overrule depravity in us. Ain't that right? You know it. Unfortunately, this type of thinking, either conscientiously or unconscientiously, ignores the accomplishments of Christ's death, the propitiatory sacrifice as the ground of regeneration and exclusive basis for the forgiveness of the sin nature. The scriptures vehemently deny any portion of the wretched doctrine that respects the saviorhood of Christ only if one's daily life of dedication is affixed in tandem to Christ's eternal sacrifice. This so-called pseudo-self-dedication to God is packaged in a rare bit of religion by which depraved mankind it has conjured up a delusion. Hence, those who embrace it do so at the expense of partially or completely discounting the true faithfulness in Christ's eternal workings as the exclusive, only, exclusive impetus of their and our salvation. No more complete example could be found today of the blind leading the blind than what this doctrinal system represents. Elder, I want you to turn lastly and finally to Ephesians chapter 1. I told you I was going to visit Ephesians. I skipped that verse before. And Elder, all through the grace doctrine, from Romans to Hebrews, we have aorist tenses of the Lord's completion of our salvation in every aspect of it. And we have the passive voice, meaning that we didn't do it. He did it in eternity, finished it. Elder began reading at verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look again at what the Lord have exclusively wrought, and we had no part in it. Begin reading, Ellen.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse.
Yes, sir.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Accordingly, as he hath chosen us in him,
mm-hmm.
before the foundation of the world,
mm-hmm.
that we should be holy and without blame.
All right.
Before
that
him.
That we being holy, that's present tense. Elder's reading from the King James, but that's present tense. That we being holy and without blame before him, whatever.
In love. Having predestinated us.
From eternity.
Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself.
Mm-hmm.
According to the good pleasure of his will.
Mm-hmm.
To the praise of the glory of his grace.
Not our works.
Wherein he has made us accept in the beloved.
Now who's doing all the work so far? God is. God is. Paul is just praising him for his works. 7.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Mm-hmm.
The forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
According to the riches of his grace.
Everything is by his grace. Uh-huh.
Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
Mm-hmm.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will,
mm-hmm.
according to his good pleasure,
mm-hmm.
which he had purposed in himself.
Glory to God. Yes.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times,
mm-hmm.
he might gather together in one,
mm-hmm.
all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth,
mm-hmm.
even in him.
Yes.
In whom we have obtained an inheritance.
We obtain it. Aorist tense, passive voice. We didn't go get it. It was given to us in eternity. Passive voice. We had no part in it. Uh-huh.
Being predestinated.
Aorist tense, passive voice.
According to the purpose of him
mm-hmm.
who worketh all things
mm-hmm.
after the counsel of his will.
Mm-hmm. All things, yes. All the way to
that,
14.
That we should be to the praise of his glory
mm-hmm.
who first trusted in Christ.
All right.
In whom also you trusted.
Excuse me, Ella. Who first trusted in Christ is the perfect tense, the passive voice. Again, we didn't do it. Perfect tense is a past completed action with the results coming down to the presence. And you know what the passive voice is. It was done to you. You didn't do it. Uh-huh.
After that, you heard the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel of your salvation.
All right.
In whom also, after that, ye believe.
Again, aorist tense. They say we got to exercise our faith. It's the aorist tense. It was done in eternity. If it wasn't ordained in eternity, there would be no believing in time. God did it. And only those that were caused, that were designated to believe in eternity, will believe in time. Finish it, Ella.
Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
And finish 14.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance.
He's the earnest of our inheritance.
Until the redemption
mm-hmm.
of the purchased possession.
Yes.
Unto the praise,
of
his glory.
Of his glory. Amen. Saints of God, rest assured and rest. The workings of God were complete and finished on our behalf. Amen. All we do now is give him all the praise,
yes,
all the honor, and all the glory. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank God.